working a part-time job.
Working at REI.
That's a lot of fishing.
Stay with my mom.
It's almost the end of the semester, and you know what that means, right? Summer. You need to start making plans if you haven't already. I hear you saying, well, I've already got my summer plan. I'm going to chill out and finally sleep and just do what I want. Maybe you're going to hit the road and go back home. Well, about a week of summer, and you're going to find out that you've run out of money and things to do, and you've caught up on your sleep. So what are some options? You could get a job. Or maybe you need a job. Or maybe you need to take some classes or just want to take care of your basic requirements to put you ahead and finish your degree. We're going to help you get some solid summer plans and show you some options. But here first are some students and their options. All right, I'm here in the English class, just asking some questions. Tell me who you are.
My name is Trey Chaney.
What are you planning to do this summer?
Over the summer, I plan on working and playing basketball.
Oh, very good. Where are you going to work?
Wherever.
Good answer. Okay, so who are you?
My name is Reese Cook.
And what are you going to do this summer?
I'm going to go back home to England and work.
Do you know where you're going to work in England?
TM Lewin in London.
Very good. What do they sell?
Men's business wear.
What's your name?
Cody Reed.
What are you going to be doing this summer?
I'm going to be taking college classes over the summer and maybe cutting some grass.
Very good. Are you going to take them from one of the JUCOs around here?
I'm not sure yet.
Good. Very good. Kak savut.
Mene zavutan namorluk.
What are you going to be doing this summer?
Okay. I'm going to be working at REI in Austin, Texas.
Can you say that in Russian? All right, think about it. We'll come back, huh? What's your name?
My name is Mitchell Hill, a.k.a. Money Mitch. I'm going to be working at TJ Maxx over the summer, and then I'm going to be on the West Coast. You know, catch me out there, West Coast, San Diego, and that's where I'm going
to
be at.
Oh, very fun. That's a nice place to be. So what's your name?
Judith Siskar.
And what are you going to be doing this summer?
Well, I'm going to be taking college classes, and then I just started a business, so I plan on keep doing my business.
And what is your business?
Zeal.
I've had some. It's pretty good stuff. Recently, Dr. Skinner and I sat down with some of our business department experts and had a chat with them about some of the things that you might want to do and how you can make some of that money. My name is David Roman, and you are listening to 7210. All right, I'm sitting here with several doctors in the house. Dr. Skinner and I are sitting here with Dr. Brandon Little, Dr. Cressman, and Mr. Zach Dickerson from the online
Dixon, Zach Dickson,
right. He'll correct me again, I'm sure. And we just want to talk a little bit about some things that are going on this summer. You know, it's just around the corner. Tell me, if I'm going to college, because we've had several people we've talked to there say, we're going to get a job. I'm thinking I need some money for the summer. What's the first thing that I really should be thinking about in terms of that?
Well, the first thing you really should think about is what your goals for the summer are. If you just want a job where you're going to be able to work a lot of hours and earn as much money as you can, your strategy is going to be different than if you are looking for a job that's going to feed into your educational plan and career plan. So thinking about what you're really trying to get out of the summer job. And then also just things like location. If you're planning to stay in Oklahoma City as opposed to going home or going somewhere else, another city or another state, that's going to affect how you start looking for a job as well.
That will take a little bit of unpacking to do here. We may not get to the rest of these questions. Let's start with, and feel free either of you to chime in as well. You talk about this, whether we fit into career life plans or we want to make a little bit of money. Give me an example of the difference between the two.
Okay, one example would be if you just want to make some money. So you know that a local fast food place is hiring, and they'll let you work as many hours as you want. That would be one possibility for just making money, or working in a local business, or at the mall, or the outlet mall, retail establishment. It would be different if you wanted to work in a situation where you were going to gain some experience in marketing, if that's something you were studying. So maybe you're looking for an internship with a business as opposed to just a job, an hourly job.
Well, let me ask you, follow up on that. Should students be looking for internships and use that this as an opportunity for them to further their education and career, or is that something that they really ought to be considering at this point?
Well, certainly by the time they're a junior or a senior, they should be considering that. They've taken enough classes in their curriculum area that they have some knowledge about the area and they have some contributions they can make to the business, but their education will be furthered so much if they can also get that experience working in an internship.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, no, but I was thinking that in the beginning when she was saying they have to decide which direction they're headed, they really need to know what it is they want to do. You know, sometimes when you're looking for a summer job, it's not that you just want to go out there and do anything. So they need to decide what they want to do. And then from there, they can decide whether or not they want to do, you know, maybe have something that gives them a little more professional experience as opposed to just earning some money just for the summer.
Okay. So let's assume that they do have that kind of a goal line. Whether that, let's unpack first if that's just going to the local shop and getting a job at McDonald's, assembling hamburgers. What do? Do they need a resume? Do they just walk in and say, here I am, hire me?
So there are some companies that want them to complete a resume. Some of the other companies, such as the McDonald's and other food service organizations, may just want them to fill out an application. So for those companies that want them to complete a resume, then of course they're going to need to create a resume according to their skills and the position that they're applying for. But there are companies where they don't want a resume. They do want you to fill out their application.
Okay.
So it's the organization that they're applying to that would make that decision.
What's typically on one of those applications? Just work experience and education or
it
life
is.
History?
It is work experience and education. Sometimes they ask some additional information about references, and I don't think that it goes into too much detail. Whereas on their resume, it may provide them with more of their responsibilities and the experience they have and the skills they have. Although sometimes a resume, an application will cover some of those things. I think a resume gives you a more of an overview of that individual.
Okay.
A resume also allows the individual to focus on what they want to emphasize, as opposed to just filling out a form. Creating a resume allows them to really emphasize the skills that they feel they have developed and the skills that they feel are appropriate to the job that they're looking for.
So are there things that perhaps they've done here on campus that they could use on their resume to help get that job that they're looking for?
I think so. I think there are some courses that they take where they do community service work, they do research projects, depending on the position that they're applying to, where they can use that experience on their resume.
And I think they can use volunteer experience as well. So a lot of students have more volunteer experience than work experience, but they've still developed skills while they've volunteered, so they can emphasize that on their resume. And certainly any jobs that they've done on campus, they can use on their resume.
So most of these guys are pretty young. You know, when I do my resume, it's work experience first. Education is the tail end, although unless I'm doing something for the school, education might come a little bit earlier. Just not in depth, because I know we study that in some of our classes, but generally speaking, what's the order of some of the stuff? What is some of the stuff and what are the order of that you would put on a resume?
Well, there are really two types of resumes. One is a chronological, where they can list chronologically all the things that they've accomplished. But because they are young and they probably have a series of part-time jobs, it may be more valuable to create a functional resume, which really highlights the skills that they have developed rather than a long list of jobs. At this age and in the position that our students are in, one of their most valuable assets is their education. So that's definitely important to put at the top of the list.
Okay. Did you want to add to that, Dr. Brandon Little? Okay. So, Zach, I want to draw you into this question, this conversation a little bit, and think, you know, we're talking here about jobs, and I'm thinking probably we're talking about part-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the students are going to have some extra time. And we've had a lot of information come across our desk about online opportunities, summer opportunities. How do you see some of those opportunities? What are some of those opportunities for summer education? Should they be doing those? And how would those work with a student doing a job?
Well, it goes back to the student's goals. If their goal is to earn a bunch of money, I probably wouldn't take an online course during the summer. But if they have a focus on getting their education done as quickly as possible, maybe making up a course that they didn't do too well in, online offers an opportunity for a student like that to retake a course without falling behind on their graduation plan, getting ahead of their graduation plan, maybe even graduating early if they complete enough courses online. So online is great because it offers the flexibility for a student that, hey, I've got a due date, but as long as I get the work in by that due date, it doesn't matter when I do the work, doesn't matter when I do the reading, doesn't matter when I actually do the homework. I have my due dates. As long as I get it in by the due dates, I'm going to get full credit. So if I got to go to work from 8 to 5, come home, eat dinner, and then work on for a couple of hours, and a student has that flexibility during the summertime that they probably don't have a lot of during the semester. So yeah, it's a great opportunity for traditional students to take an online class.
Okay, so let's look at chronology, not in terms of resume, Dr. Cressman, sorry about that, but in terms of the summer, we have the opportunity to end before most other schools. So we're graduating on May 6th, and then we're going into the workforce the next week, or attempting to at least, looking for those jobs. What can we expect? What can a student expect in terms of the process and how long that might take before they would actually be working? And then thinking, while you're thinking over here, Zach, about, yeah, okay, so how's that going to fit in with online? Because I'm going to come back to you in just a minute and get to that.
Okay, so they're thinking about going into summer employment.
Right.
One thing that is offered with the university and the Rotaract Club helps sponsor this is career fair, and we do career fair classes that preps them with their cover letter, resume, interviewing, professional dress. And they have this opportunity to attend the career fair in the spring before they're out for summer, and they are able to network, to get a feel of these organizations, meet with these business professionals, you know, whether it's to volunteer at an organization or actually seeking employment there, and they can gain that experience just talking to them and finding out what they need to do, what they want to do. So they have that. The school offers that to them. So they can take advantage of that. There also could, I think there's some other opportunities on that can prep them for summer employment. And CAPS provides different things that they could help them with resumes also, and creating that so they can be more prepared to go out into the field. And it just kind of depends on what they're seeking again. So many food service industries are seeking summer employment, retail sales, things like that. They would go into those type of positions are readily available.
So let me interject right here.
Okay.
And that, I think we're talking currently about students who might be coming back. Are those kinds of services available for students who are exiting, graduating?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's the same thing. If they attend the job fair, they also have an opportunity to gain full-time employment with these organizations. So it's not just a summer job or an internship, which are also available, but they can seek full-time employment. Many of these organizations, they're looking for full-time employees.
Right.
And they want college graduates that are completing their studies at that time moving into the workforce.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So it really works. Some of the same agencies work for either returning students or non-returning students.
Yes.
And so they can expect really probably within the first week or so to be getting some of these jobs if they're qualified?
It depends on when they begin their search.
Ah. What?
Right.
So if they begin,
start?
Yes. So if they begin their job search early and not wait until graduation, then they have a better opportunity to go right into those positions.
Okay. So were you going to say something?
I was. Some organizations also require different kinds of licensing. Like I know we have some students who lifeguard at the Y. Well, in order to do that, they have to complete a lifeguard training course. So if they haven't already done that, that's going to cut in a week or so into when they can begin. And other organizations have similar, immunization requirements, things like that, that it's going to delay your start point. Even after you think you've found a job, that person may not actually begin for a couple of weeks.
It can be that long.
It can be.
Wow.
So it is important, as Dr. Brandon Little said, to start early. I mean, certainly now.
So now would be a good time to get started.
Yes. Now, if they haven't already started, now is a perfect time.
There's an old Chinese proverb. When is the best time to plant a tree?
Now.
100 years ago.
Right.
But if you haven't, now.
That's great. So I want to come back now, Zach, to the online process. And we graduate, our session on May 6th, and our summer essentially begins for most of our students. Explain to us, if you will, the sequence for the timing for online classes, and if a student wants to hop into that at some point, how that might look for them.
Students need to, they have a couple of things that they have to do before they can actually get into an online course. We have three opportunities this summer for traditional students. We have our two normal, regularly scheduled online courses. One set will be starting May 29th. The other set will be starting July 10th. And they can get in on either set of those, so that an opportunity to take at least two courses this summer. But then we also have our a set of courses just for traditional students. No online students, adult online students will be enrolling in it. It'll be just traditional students that will start July 10th. We have six courses lined up for those. So what students will need to do is, the first thing they'll need to do is talk to their advisor. Let them know, hey, I'm interested in taking this course. Does it fit into my schedule? Is it even worth my time? The advisor will walk them through the requirements of the course, of being an online student, make sure that it's going to fit in. And then the other thing they got to consider is the financial part. Probably need to talk to financial aid. Ask financial aid, if I take the course in May, can I get financial aid to pay for it? Do I have to pay for it out of pocket? Our new financial aid semester starts July 1st. So I think a lot of traditional students would like to take advantage of the courses that start in July, because they'll actually be able to get financial aid for those from a new semester. Whereas the courses in May, they may or may not be able to. Just going to have to talk to financial aid about that. The other consideration is, they also have to get their books, and that can take a while. So I would prefer if students, if they're thinking about it, they get signed up for a course at least a week in advance. That way they've got plenty of time to go through all the process, talk to who they need to talk to, and order the textbook, get the textbook, and be ready for class to start. So this is a little bit of what some of the things they need to think about if they're planning on or thinking about taking an online course.
So the class that's offered in May, does it end by the time the July class rolls around?
It does. It actually ends July 3rd. So it's July 3rd is that Sunday. Mm-hmm. We have 1 week, and then the July 10th course will begin.
And when does the July 10th class end?
The July 10th course will end August 13th.
Okay, and then school, the regular school year, starts 2 weeks later.
Correct.
About, okay.
One question students frequently ask me is, well, how will I know what to do? I'm signed up for this course. Am I going to get an email? What happens after they sign up?
So once they get signed up for the course, a couple of weeks out, they're going to receive an email from my office. Usually it comes from Teresa Biddle. She sends them an email. It outlines a couple of things for them, how to log into the online classroom, what textbook is required, and also goes over some of the specific requirements that they have to do within the first week of class. One of the requirements that we have in online, because these courses are so fast-paced, is you have to participate. It's a mandate. You don't have a choice. Day one, you got to hit the ground running. One of the things that you have to do within the first 2 days is something called the acceptance of course requirements. In the traditional class, we make everybody sign a course syllabus agreement. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what this is, except we call it the acceptance of course requirements. You have to do that within the first 2 days of class. The other thing that you have to do within the first week is submit an assignment. So an assignment can be posting to the Spiritual Life Forum, posting to the online discussion board, submitting a quiz, or submitting a written assignment. Anything that is graded that week, at least one of those things has to be submitted in order to keep from being pulled out of the class at the end of the first week. Something that law students don't realize, you have to do those two things. If you miss the first week, you've missed a fifth of the class. And so we're going to pull you out of it because your chances of success are extremely low at that point.
And it's so, a five-week class.
They're all five-week courses.
So if they've missed signing the acceptance form within the first 2 days, will they be dropped?
No.
Okay.
We do have a little bit of grace there. The assignments specifically, we want you to get that done by the Tuesday of the first week. But if we come around on Monday and we're looking to see who's participated and you didn't do it until Wednesday, we're not going to pull you out for that. Just so long as you got it done and you got the those first week's assignments done, then you're okay. But we prefer you go ahead and get it done on Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
So I want to just clarify a couple of things that I heard you say earlier, and kind of in reference to what Dr. Brian Little was talking about earlier. Students, we have a huge number of students who do not live here. And if they once take an online course and they don't consult with their advisor before they leave the campus, what's their recourse?
Well, they've got to get a hold of their advisor somehow. The advisor is the one that's going to say yes or no. The advisor is the last line of defense.
The gatekeeper.
If an online student comes to me and asks me if they can take a course, I'm going to send them back to their advisor. If the advisor says yes, you can take it, or no, then I'm going to back whatever that advisor has said. Mm-hmm. The advisor knows the student best. They know their course schedule. They know their program the best. And so the advisor is going to be the last line of whether or not they can take an online course. So if
Dr. Cressman is in Tanzania on a mission experience and somebody wants to take a course, then they're out of luck until she gets back from the wilds of Africa.
Unless Dr. Cressman has someone in place that can pick up her duties, a backup, someone who can step in and say, yes, you can. That'll work. So,
right.
Dr. Cressman will probably have someone for that when she ventures across the globe. So,
or down the street.
All right. So there's a lot of other things that just come to mind in listening to the conversation. Things like tax issues. If you're out of state and having just completed the tax season now, students who work out of state. Those implications are taught, I'm sure, in a business classes, but for a music student, we never cross that bridge until the April 14th of our first year away from parentage. But what are some other considerations that a student might have as far as looking at summer employment? We come back, we decide the third week of August.
Right.
Is it really worth 2 months of work? You have to have, what can a student expect? I mean, for working, would it be 2 months? Middle of May to middle of June to middle of July?
It's going to be worth their time because of the skills that they're going to gain from that, and they're going to have work experience, which many employers, although you can't have the professional experience that they may desire for you to have, you do have some work experience. And that also accounts for your character, your ability to get up and work, to do a job well, to be dependable, to be flexible. So all of that would add to them if they're going to seek employment later on, it's going to benefit them to have some type of experience.
So it really is worth getting a job for the summer and not just hanging out, but to really do something with
even
your time.
Even for the connections that you could make through that job.
I remember, Dr. Cressman, you and I were talking about some of the options students have, and you had mentioned that having connections, using your connections, using maybe your parents or students using their parents' connections might be a good place to start.
Right. When one is looking for a job, the best place to start really is to just tell everybody that they know that they're looking for a job. And that can be their asking their professors, letting them know they're interested in working, seeing if they have any suggestions. Their parents, their parents' friends, people they know at church, their coaches, anybody they can think of who has some connection beyond themselves, because so many jobs really come through somebody saying, hey, I heard about so-and-so who's looking for someone.
But it also helps to have some of those skills first.
Yes.
And then you know the person and they match you up with the next person along the line.
Right. And so many times when you're in college and you're just starting out and you're looking for a job, some of the skills that are most important are the ones that Dr. Brandon Little said, that you can get up and you can get someplace on time, that you're prompt and that you meet deadlines. It's the same types of skills that help you succeed in school. You know how to meet deadlines. You know how to be thorough. So in a summer job, it may not be as important that you understand everything about this business as much as the fact that you've proven that you are a team player. You can follow instructions, you are eager and willing to learn, and you can get there on time and do a good job while you're there.
Something else that Dr. Kressman was sharing with me earlier, when students are looking for employment or seeking employment, that they may do some other things like clean up their social media and also their voicemail accounts. So they want to, when they do apply for the job, and many employers go online now. They want to see what type of person you are. Mm-hmm. You know, and I tell my students, I just told them in Intro to Business, you know, if you're filling out an application, they ask you, what hobbies do you have? Why do you think they're asking that? They want to know if you're just sitting around laying on a couch, you know, just doing nothing all day, playing a video game or just sitting watching TV. What actually do you do that's worthwhile with your additional time?
So that might be another good reason to take coursework over the summer as well, is to show that you've got that and keep your mind fresh and on honed for the next school year. We know a lot of learning is lost when you aren't using your mind, when you're not using the material.
Right. Employers are looking for people who are motivated. So, you know, taking an online class or volunteering or getting a job are examples of people who are motivated.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Kressman and Dr. Brandon Little and Mr. Dixon. I know that you're going to have a great summer, and I hope that we've had a little. Let's just reiterate, we want to have a resume. We want to look for a job. We want to set a goal for that job first and then look for the job that meets that goal. And then we want to enroll in at least one, if not three, online classes. Come out of the way. All right. Well, let's take a few minutes to listen to a couple more students and what they have to say for their summer plans. Tell me who you are.
Daphne Bautista.
And what are you going to do this summer?
I'm going to go back to Mexico for a couple of weeks and then just keep working here.
Very good. ¿Habla español?
Sí.
What are you going to do? Tell me in Spanish.
Voy a ir a México por un par de semanas y luego voy a trabajar aquí en una pastelería.
Bueno. And you?
My name's Audie Conley.
And what are you going to do this summer, Audie?
I'm going to be working a part-time job back at home and then coming up here whatever time there's games and work for a radio station.
And do you know what radio station you're going to be working for?
KMZL.
And tell me who you are.
I'm Daniela. Daniela Ordóñez.
And what are you going to be doing this summer?
Well, I'm going back home and stay with my mom.
And where is home for you?
Colombia.
Oh, so, ¿habla español?
Sí.
What are you going to do? Tell me in Spanish.
Voy a ir a casa a quedarme con mi mamá y voy a ir a la playa.
¿Y dónde fue?
What?
Where are you from?
Oh, Colombia.
¿Y en español?
Voy a ir a Colombia.
Tell me what you're doing.
Well, this summer I'm just staying home. I'm not working or anything special.
Okay, and where is home for you and who are you?
Well, my name's Tomasa and I live in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
voy a quedarme aquí en Oklahoma con mi familia.
Okay, very good. One more.
My name is Jonathan Jance.
What are you going to be doing this summer, John?
Probably going to be working and a lot of fishing.
You like to fish?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a special pond?
Tom Steed Lake out of Snyder, Oklahoma.
So what is the biggest fish that you have caught and what kind?
I've caught a 6-pound bass and I've caught a 13-pound catfish before.
That's pretty good. You ever go noodling?
No, I will never stick my hand in a catfish hole.
Oh, come on, man. It's just a fish mouth.
There's too many beavers around.
Okay, well, have a good time. All right, Dr. Skinner, tell me what you're going to be doing this summer.
Well, I might be teaching. I'll be catching up on some sleep and going to New York to visit family. And those are my summer plans so far.